Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back with you. Happy New Year. Come, love. Oh, wait. Don't worry just yet. Don't worry just yet. We're going to watch a video first. So we got back on, when was it? Tuesday. We got back on Tuesday, so we're just still settling in, which means you won't find the scriptures on YouVersion, because when I come back, it's usually all over the place. We took down our Christmas decorations yesterday morning, and so Christmas is officially over, and we're really excited for what God has for us in the year ahead. And you might not know kind of what that entails, but you know, while we were away, it was just like vision went like this, and we just experienced so much of God's favor and goodness, and it was really exciting. I don't even know how to share some of the things with you, but what we are going to share with you is just a few testimonies, and in the testimonies, there's word. I'm going to be sharing some of the things that I shared in Albania. For those of you who don't know, that's Southeastern Europe, and we're going to just share a little bit about what happened there and what we shared as well. And you'll find that you can take notes on what we're going to share, because you'll learn a lot through that. For those of you who don't know, 2 years ago, Marna was 7 months pregnant. 7 months pregnant 2 years ago with Elliot. And William was a year and a half, and we went to Albania for the first time. We just went for just about 2 weeks, and God had opened a door for us to plant get involved with a church plant there. And when we arrived there, it was a bit of a crisis situation, in that the leaders couldn't get residency and all of this, and finances was an issue for them. We just said, well, we believe God's called us to this. He's called us to these problems. And so we embraced the church plant, we adopted it, and the leaders left. And then it was kind of like, now you've got this child, what do you do with it? And we sent leaders there in 3 months, because you can only get a 3 month visa, in stages or seasons of 3 months. We had Benjamin Conway, a friend of mine who's pastoring churches in the in London area. He sent over two of his people to pastor it for 3 months. It was kind of crisis management. As their term came to an end, we sent Alicia, Yanu, and Kunrad, and they went for 3 months, and then they came back, and I don't know what happened after that, but I can't remember. But it's still there. And then, we were kind of praying about it, what should happen, and I knew that we needed to send someone to go more permanently. And Alicia and Carl, basically, they had just gotten engaged. They stepped up and said, we'll go. And, I mean, that's huge for a couple that's just engaged. Never mind married in their first year. And so they got married. At their marriage, we laid hands on them and ordained them to go to Albania and carry on the church plant, and they arrived there with a lot of hurt, and they weren't hurt, but the people there were hurt, and there was brokenness and problems because of just this constant turnover of leadership, and they didn't know what was happening, and things weren't always properly communicated, not from our side, but from people there. And so we were just like, you know what, this is a new leaf, or we're turning over a new leaf, and they've been there now for exactly a year. And it's amazing to see the stability that's come because of that. And it's amazing to see what God's doing in that church. And we're going to share some of that with you. But before we do, the last song that we sang, that's how they do worship there. The bottom is the translation for Albanian. And they sing the song in English, but then if they don't understand English, they can at least read the Albanian translation. And then there's some songs which are Albanian, and the Albanian words are at the top, and the English translation is at the bottom for people like me visiting. And the awesome thing there is that they don't just have Albanians coming to church. You know, there's a hostel close by. It's about 100 meters, 150 meters away. And we walk past it every day to get to church. And at this hostel, they have internationals coming through there all the time. And so you'll hear about that later, but we had a lot of internationals coming to church, which is really awesome. But Albania, as you'll see in a moment, was a communist country for a long time. And then it was in the 90s, I can't remember exactly when they had a civil war and they became an independent or a more free country, I suppose. And they declared themselves in their constitution to be an atheist state. And they were the first country in the world to declare themselves atheist. And they have 60 to 70% Muslim. And so, but although it's an atheist state, the culture is Muslim. It's Islamic. And so, you know, like we saw an advert, Martin saw the advert, I think. Or no, it was Alicia and Carl. Alicia and Carl are the campus pastors there. They saw an advert on TV when they were busy doing their paperwork and stuff with one of the government offices. And it was a tourism advert. And they were advertising the city that we were in, Durres. And they advertised, they showed all these features and attractions. And then they showed the mosque and underneath it said House of God. That just shows you that that's their culture. That's where God lives. That's the house of God. And so, you know, that's the culture we're going into where, you know, church, like why go to church? There is no other evangelical church in the whole city that we know of. There's one or two on the outskirts, but there's nothing where we are. And that means we've got an awesome opportunity and work to do there. The other thing I wanted to share with you about that was, I can't remember, but it was awesome. But you can just see the influence of Islam, and you can see the after effects of communism there. In their thinking, in the way that they live, in the way that they do things, they need the gospel and they need transformation. They really do. You can see it's built, like Christianity is built into our culture here in South Africa, and even an atheist has some kind of Christian background or some kind of Christian framework to live by. They don't have that, you know. So it's really interesting, and we got some cool stories to share with you there. One more thing I just want to share before we watch a quick video is that before we went, I was trusting that number one, even if we don't see a lot of salvations and a lot of whatever, that we'll at least strengthen what we've got there. Because if we strengthen what we've got there, then it would mean growth in the future. Because healthy things grow. So I was going, we're going to work with the people we've got. We're going to strengthen them. We're going to bless them. We're going to, you know, just invest into them. And then I was like, in my heart, I was like, I'm trusting that we're going to double this church before we leave. And we did. On the last Sunday that we were there, they had double attendance. And double attendance means 30 to 35. So it's not a heck of a lot. I can take him out. He wants to go play. So we had double attendance, which is awesome. And not only that, but we saw salvation, 7 salvations, which is huge for that area. I mean, that's huge. You know, someone saying, I want to receive Christ is always awesome, but to have 7 in a country like that is amazing. And then we saw 4 baptisms in water. 3 of them were spur of the moment. One person had planned to get baptized in water, and then the other 3 were like, I'll go as well. You know, and one of them had just got saved. So that was really, really awesome. So we saw some great things. It was really exciting. Marna obviously didn't get to minister the first time we were there because of being pregnant and having William with us. She actually didn't get to come to church once, just to the last celebration. We celebrated 2 years of Grace Life Durres on the last Sunday that we were there. And so she got to be with us just for the hello, everybody, and then take the boys for nap time. But it was really great. She got to minister at the Freedom Conference and then to a bunch of women, and she'll tell you much more about that now. So go for it, love.
Thanks, love. Shane's going to obviously be sharing about all the testimonies and everything we experienced. And like you said, it's with almost 6 weeks there, it feels like there's just too much to share. And I just want to share 2 or 3 of my highlights with you. Firstly, it was really awesome to be with Carl and Alicia and to see how well they're doing. We lived with them for almost 6 weeks in their 2-bedroom flat, so we would have noticed if they weren't doing okay. And after a year of being in a completely foreign culture with a completely foreign language and doing what they're doing, they are really doing so well. We were just so, so proud of them. And it was an awesome privilege for us to just spend time with them, praying about the church, praying about the year ahead, strategizing, making plans, putting things in place, and it was really really awesome. They are doing very well at learning Albanian, which is not for the faint-hearted. For those of you who don't know, Albanian is one of the most difficult languages in the world. Not only because it's so different. I think the closest language to Albanian is Latin, so that gives you an idea. But also, the Albanians love correcting you. So as soon as you try speaking their language, even if you're doing it right, they'll tell you how to do it better. So that also made it pretty tough for them. And the one girl we connected with at one of the coffee shops, she was amazed to hear that Alicia and Carl have only been in Albania for 1 year. because she said the Albanian is so good. And Alicia, even sometimes when I asked her something, she would answer me in Albanian before she shook her head and answered me in English. So that's also going really well. One thing that was really awesome for me was how many opportunities we had to connect to the people there because we had our kids with us. Now, the Albanian people love children. You can see it in all the children's clothing shops even. They spend a lot of money on their kids. But everywhere we went, we took them everywhere, obviously church and out to see people and out here and out there. And everywhere you go, even at a fancy coffee shop or whatever, the people are always excited to see the kids. And you'd have complete strangers coming up to William or Elliot in the street and wanting to pinch their cheeks and talking to them in Albanian and picking them up and kissing them. And what was awesome was everywhere we went with the kids, people were connecting to us because of them. And obviously, if you go on a trip like this, if you go somewhere, you try and go to the same place every time so that the staff get to know you, the people in the area get to know you. You try and go to the same shop, the same veggie market, the same play areas or parks. And it was awesome how we got to connect to and minister to people because they were connecting to us because they enjoyed our kids so much. And it's not the kind of environment where you just invite people to church. Like Shane said, there's no framework or reference for church. So it's so important to, you need to actually build relationship first, because there, if you're not Muslim or Orthodox, everything else is kind of seen as a cult, or you just don't go there. So we really connected with people on a significant level, and I really enjoyed that. And then I, like Shane said, I had the opportunity to minister at the Freedom Conference, which was awesome. And also, I think it was in our last week there, Alicia organized a ladies get-together with some of the girls in the church. And one of the miracles that happened was that they actually invited people, friends, and these friends came. Alicia was kind of shocked. We got to the ice cream parlor, and she's like, his friends who came. So we connected with them a bit. And that's the other thing. You have to connect with everyone through a translator, because most people, they don't speak English. And if they do, it's rudimentary. Like even the one girl I connected with a lot at one of the play areas where I took the children to, she's studying English at university. And we even had a really hard time understanding each other because it's just not something that's common there. So you had to minister through a translator, obviously, which can lead to some comical situations at times. But at this ladies, not a social meeting in this ice cream place, Alicia and I shared with them a little and ended up ministering to them for about 2 hours. And at the end of it, Alicia was just like, well, you know, you've heard about this good news and you've heard about God's love. And if you've actually never, you know, receive Jesus and gone into friendship with him, then I'd like us all to just close our eyes and pray together. And if that's you, then you prayed from your heart and it's done. And one of the girls in the middle of the ice cream shop gave her life to Jesus, which was amazing and almost completely unheard of. And everyone in the shop did know what we were doing because someone was translating everything we were saying. So I think the people were choking in their ice creams a bit. I think, like Shane said, one of the most important things was that we could strengthen the church back there. I wish I could explain to you all what it meant to them when we told them about you here back home, when we showed them the pictures of the people back home, when you sent them the birthday song for the birthday service. It meant so much for them to realize that they're not alone, because in their culture, the fact that they're a Christian the way they are makes them very, very weird. It's not that there's not a lot of Christians like that. So to know that they've got family all the way around the world and that they're part of something bigger, it really made a big difference, especially since most of them are very young. We've got mostly teenagers and some university students. So it really means a lot to them to know that you're here and to know that you care and to know that you think you thought that they're important enough to send Carl and Alicia and send us to go and minister to them and encourage them and strengthen them and train them up. And I was really encouraged to see their hearts and see their eagerness to learn and to grow and see how healthy the church is there. It's young, but it's healthy, and that really blessed me. I mean, the last day, Shane will tell you more about this, but we had four baptisms. And we had the baptisms right at the waterfront where all the people are walking with their children for a Sunday stroll. And once again, it's a Muslim nation. So a public baptism isn't something that's common there. And these guys were just right there in front of everyone going into the water and declaring that they've chosen Jesus. And it was really awesome. And then the last thing that I would really like to share with you before Shane comes up is just when Alicia asked me what my highlight was of the trip in our last week there, I said to her, obviously, spending time with him. It was a huge blessing. But I said to her, the thing that blessed me most was in the first few days that we were there, I was absolutely convinced of the purposefulness of not only our trip, but of the church plant there in Albania. It wouldn't have been, I think for any of us, if you're doing something where you're putting energy and time and money and effort into, you want to know that it matters. And from the first moment we got there, I just knew that I knew that I knew that this matters, that this is the right thing at the right time, that us being there for them was the right thing at the right time, but them being there is the right thing at the right time, not just because God loves Albania, because he does, and he's passionate about those people. In all their brokenness and their lostness, he loves them and he wants to make them whole. But not just that, I really just was overwhelmingly convinced by what I saw then, by what I felt God ministered to my heart, that he doesn't just want to change Albania and minister to them and love them. He's seeing this grace life in Albania as a doorway and a foothold that he wants to reach Europe and he wants to reach the Middle East through this small group of believers that we are looking after there. So us being there, us being here and loving them and supporting them and holding their arms up while they're there matters, not only for us, not only for them, but for the rest of the world. And I told these young guys as we sat there on the first Saturday when we met them for the first time, the word that God laid on my heart for them. This is a group of teenagers. It's not a group of CEOs or graphic designers or web designers. It's a group of teenagers. And I said to them, God is saying to you that he's placed gifts and callings inside of you to not only serve and minister to and care for and change your country, but the entire world. And I truly believe that. And that was one of the biggest blessings for me, is to know that everything we are doing as a family here for the family in Albania is a God thing. It's the right thing at the right time, and it's going to have a ripple effect in eternity. It already has so much. Thanks, guys.
That's awesome. Thank you, love. And see where I am. You know, one of the exciting things is to see that, you know, they're busy translating all of our books there. The healing devotion was just recently translated, so it's being edited now, and there's Rooted. And the awesome thing about it, they've done, I think we'll do this with all the translations, because it's really clever. Carl, Alicia sets it out that it's a paragraph English, a paragraph Albanian. And so it's easy for them to disciple people because they've got the translation, and it helps anybody learn English or Albanian. And so that's really good. And, you know, it also was helpful because when a Frenchman got saved, I explained to him, yeah, this will help you. He looked at it and he said, but it's an Albanian. I said, the English is in there too, don't worry. You know, so it's really useful because they have a lot of people there who don't speak Albanian. So that's really exciting. But one of the you know, when we first arrived, I told Carl and Alicia, 1 week of nothing. Before, no church, no nothing, just us. Because I wanted to connect to them and just minister to them and all of that. So we just relaxed and connected and all of that. And we went through a certain book together, and we prayed together, and we had vision together of this is what we want to accomplish while we're here. This is what we're going to do. We strategized, and it was awesome. that really set us up for what was coming. And one of the things that came out of that was, let's have a freedom conference. It wasn't called the Freedom Conference at first. It was just called conference. And then as I realized what it was about, I was like, this is the Freedom Conference. I want to have one here because it just sounds so amazing. And anyway, so you know, week one at the Freedom Conference, I said, I spoke about what is a real Christian. Because, I mean, and I realized this applies for us here too. Because most people look at what is Christianity and they associate it with religion straight away and it becomes a Sunday ritual. And so I beat against that big time as much as I could. You know, and I just said to them, you know, firstly, it's about relationship with God. So I'm going to share a little bit about what I shared with them. John 3:16, which is awesome because most of them can quote it in the church. So it means Alicia and Carl have been doing a good job. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. And I told them, I said, this is the purpose of the Freedom Conference. God, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you so that you do not perish. Now, perish in your finances, perish in your health, perish eternally, perish relationally, whatever. He wants to have you to experience everlasting life. What is everlasting life? It's not living forever. Everybody's going to live forever. You choose your destination of where you're going to live forever, but it's not about just living forever. Jesus, in the same book of John, defined eternal life in John chapter 17, verse 3, saying, for God sent not his... No, 17 verse 3, sorry. John 17 verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. And so, eternal life is the purpose for Jesus coming, and Jesus came to give eternal life, which is relationship with God. And so I told them, it's all about relationship with God. And some of you, I see some unfamiliar faces. It's awesome to see you and look forward to getting to know you. But what I told them was what I've told you often if you're a regular here. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian as much as sleeping in a garage doesn't make you a car. It's not about going to church. We have Muslims coming to church in duress. That doesn't make them a Christian. The one guy who got saved about 3 months ago there, he got saved and the first question he asked, he understood the gospel, he received the gospel, and he said, can I still be a Muslim? Because my family's Muslim. It's a cultural thing. And so Christianity is not a cultural thing. It's seen as a religious thing. Islam is a cultural and a religious thing. And so we've got a big thing to attack there, to deal with it. And so I showed them it's relationship with God. And that's the purpose of us focusing on knowing God. Because like Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So I focused on introducing them to the real God, to the real Jesus, showing them that it's not a religious thing. And then taking it a step further and saying, when you know God, it makes you strong, and then you're going to do great things for him. This is how we change the world. One of my sermon titles was, How to Change the World. Some of that will come through little bits and pieces this morning. So how to change the world. Then, like I told you, the mosque, you saw some pictures of it, is known as the house of God. So I asked them in one of the services, I said, where does God live? I said, he doesn't live in this room. We're in the church facilities that we had there. I said, God doesn't live here. I said, he's here now because I came, because you're here if you're a believer, but he's not sure. He's not sure when we're all home sleeping. I said, where is the house of God? I used the words that they use. I said, where is the house of God? And then I used these scriptures. I said, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? I said, if you're a Christian, God lives in you. Next verse. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? You don't belong to yourself, you belong to God, His Spirit lives in you. So I was just showing them, hey, true Christianity is about relationship with God, number one. You have to be born again. You have to receive His Spirit. Then you have a friendship with Him. Otherwise, you can never have a friendship with Him. And then number two, it's about having God live in you. Which means, and now I'm not just reporting back, I'm actually telling you something. It means that you are God's address. So if people are looking for God, they should look no further than you. You are the answer to our problems in this country. Because God is obviously the answer, but He lives in you, so you're the answer. Some of us just trap that answer down and we don't let it out. It's like, I don't know who this was, so sorry if this was you. Someone told me recently that they've got such an awesome boss, they're sure he's a Christian. And the first thing that hit me was, if you're unsure that someone's a Christian, if you're wondering, then they're definitely not doing their job properly. They shouldn't be telling you, hey, I'm a Christian, what are you? I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about just Jesus just oozing out of you so much that they're like, hey, what's different about you? There has to be something different about you. You know? Romans 8:11. One of my favorite verses. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that lives in you or dwells in you. It's talking about the Spirit of God living in you. He's not living in a place, He's living in you. You are His temple. You are the answer because, you know, one of the things we brought out, for God so loved the world, He sent Jesus. He loved us. It's not that He was angry and ticked off with the world. He wasn't like, oh, these guys are such morons, I need to fix them. Let me send Jesus. He didn't think like that. His heart was so full of love for us that He sent Jesus. So that we wouldn't perish, but we would have a better life. Everlasting life, in the eternal and in the now. So for God so loved the world that He sent Jesus. And then I turned it on them. I said, for God so loved Albania, He sent Carl and Alicia. And I told them, you've got awesome leaders. They're awesome. They're doing a brilliant job there. And I said, for God so loved Albania that He sent you. And I pointed to all of them and I said, Carl and Alicia aren't the answer alone. They're here to train you so that you can change the nation. So that you can change Eastern Europe. So that you can change the Middle East. And I say the same to you. For God so loved Stellenbosch, Solaris Pass, wherever you are, Durbanville, I don't know where. Wherever you are, that He sent you. For God so loved South Africa, He sent us. So that South Africa wouldn't perish, but experience a good life. And so we're the answer. People should look no further than us. Amen? Then I said, you know, I hammered on this. Christianity is not a religious thing because people see it as a religious thing. It's not about going to church. It's about having Jesus living in you, which means that you can do the same works that Jesus did and greater works. Because if He's in you, He wants to do what He wants to do. You just have to let Him. It's not like you have to try and do what Jesus did. Think about it. You don't have to try and do what Jesus did. You just have to let Him in you do what He wants to do through you. That takes the pressure off because it's not you doing it. It's He's the vine. You're the branch. You're connected to the vine, and the vine's life flows through the branch, which means the life of the branch comes from the vine, not from the branch. You cut the branch off, it's dead. Stay connected to the vine, and it's got life. It can produce fruit. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. God did reach out to you through us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Yeah, one of the things I did, we had discipleship training every Sunday afternoon. It was their home group Bible study. I called it discipleship training because that's what I did with it. I was training them on how to change Albania and their community. And this is what I started off with. You are Christ's ambassador. You are here to do what Jesus wants to do in your country. Whatever Jesus wants to do, He wants to do it through you. We all want to say, God just changed the world. You know, send revival. He's going to send it through you. Yeah? That's why we don't sing songs like that. Revival's not up to God. It's up to us. We're more than equipped to be able to get the job done. John 14:12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on Him, on Me, not he that lives a perfect, holy life, not he that's fasting and praying and saying whatever, he that believes, it's a believer. These signs will follow them that believe. The works that I shall do, he shall also do, and greater works than these. The reason, you know, the way we're going to change the world is, firstly, we're born again. You've got a relationship with God. You know your God, so you're strong, and so you can do mighty exploits. Okay? And when you're a believing believer, because there's a lot of unbelieving believers, amen? If you're one of them, hang around longer. The unbelieving believers don't do the same works that Jesus did. The believing believers do the same works that Jesus did. And greater works than this. Okay, so then on the first day of the Freedom Conference, I finished off with what is a true Christian. And I said, what good is it if I can't demonstrate what I'm talking about? I decided to try and walk on the water. It was fun. Very fun. I enjoyed it. And I knew what God had put in my heart. So I said, is there anyone here with back pain? Someone else put their hand up and said, I've got shoulder pain. I said, no, we can pray for you later. I'm talking about back pain. And then we got it on video, so I want to show you. So can you put up the video on the testimonies?
Anyone have lower back pain?
Over here.
Come. Faith without works is dead. So if we can't see what we're talking about, then there's no point to
it.
And this is one of the best ways to demonstrate it, really. So I'm hoping one of her legs is shorter. Right, let's put your back right again. You can say that, we're going to just check it. Are your legs right against the back then? Right against the back then, stick them up. Take your shoe off. Let's see, otherwise we'll pray for the pain and we trust that it goes, but I want to see if there is a difference. So that if
I had a reaction a few years ago, and this time that it's cold, it's starting to hurt.
You had what, sorry, again?
Surgery.
Okay, put your feet up. Okay. And someone else come and hold it.
I'm
just so that they can see.
Okay,
so hold it up there. Don't push, just relax it. Put these up. And you see a bit of a difference there? You can see it from there?
Yes.
Okay, so if you want to see the leg grow, then you need to come and stand here and look.
Sorry?
You can tell them if they want to see it grow. So can you see, can everybody that, you can say what? I'm sorry.
They can see it even from there.
I want you to put your, you're a believer, right?
Yes.
Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Awesome. So now you say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let grow.
Name and exalt it, come with the shingles.
Okay, now watch. If you want to see it grow, watch.
Yes.
Can you see it?
Fall.
Can you see it? Is it equal yet? Can you see it, bro?
Yes.
Can you see it?
Yes.
Are you pushing?
No.
Can you feel something happening?
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for complete healing right now in Claudia's leg. Back pain, everything, just go. How's the pain here?
It's not anymore.
It's not anymore. Stand up. Is it fine?
Yes.
Is it gone completely?
I think so now.
Yes.
Awesome. Father, we just thank you for your love. And this is just a demonstration of your love for Claudia. And we just give you the praise, and we give you the glory, and we give you the honor, Father. In Jesus' name.
Okay.
How's that feeling?
Oh.
weird.
Now, put your legs out again.
It's 5 years so that it hurts?
Sure.
5 years.
5 years. Lift it up higher for us. Is it still painful then?
No.
And if we lift it higher?
No.
No? Wow, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Anyone else have more?
So what was the problem before we prayed for you?
The problem was that 5 years ago.
Problemi ishte thot Claudia që 5 vite më parë.
I had an operation, a back operation.
Pata një operim te kurizi.
A very difficult one.
Një shumë.
How many hours?
9 hours.
Kanë 9 orë në operim.
And they said that the possibility to go through that alive was 50-50.
Wow.
Dhe mundësia për të jetuar ka qenë 50-50.
And they said that after the operation, I will, if it goes well, I will be all right.
Edhe ata thanë që mbas operimit, nëse shkon mirë, kjo do jetë mirë.
But you will have pain through all your life.
Por do kesh dhimbje për gjatë gjithë jetës tënde.
And you have to start to get used with the pain.
Dhe i thanë që ti duhet të mësosh me atë dhimbje.
I didn't want to accept it.
Nuk doja ta pranoja.
But I didn't know Jesus.
Por nuk e njeh Jezusin.
So I got used with pain.
Edhe kështu mësova me dhimbje.
Till 2 weeks ago?
Three weeks ago.
For 3 hours before.
I knew Jesus.
You were a Christian already?
No, I was a Christian. I knew Jesus.
Po, un isha e krishterë, njeha Jezusin.
And this is an important point because it shows that even though you're a Christian, things can still go wrong in your life.
Edhe kjo është një gjë e rëndësishme sepse edhe nëse ti je një Jezusin, gjërat mund të shkojnë prapë keq në jetën tënde.
And things can still happen to you.
Dhe gjërat prapë që mund ndodhin ty.
There is a solution.
Ka një zgjidhje.
There's an answer, but you need to take hold of it.
Ka një zgjidhje, por ti duhet ta marrësh
gjithë. And then what happened 3 weeks ago?
Dhe çfarë ndodhi 3 javë më parë, Claudia?
We had the Freedom Conference.
Patëm atë konferencën e lirisë.
That morning I had pain more than usually.
Atë mëngjes do të klaga pata dhimbje më shumë se sa zakonisht.
Till the moment that Shane said, who has lower back pain?
Deri në momentin që Shane ishte këtu po predikonte dhe sa kush ka dhimbje shpinën.
And the hand went
dhe ngrita dorën më një herë.
Immediately and I felt that this is the moment to say stop to the pain.
Dhe thjesht ndjeva që ky ishte momenti për të thënë stop dhimbjes.
And God blessed me with a miracle.
Dhe Zoti më bekoi mua me një mrekulli.
Because he is very good, not because I'm perfect.
Sa shumë e mirë.
So we asked Sylvester to come up.
Kërkojmë Sylvestrit.
And Sylvester came and laid hands on her.
Atëherë kërkojmë Sylvestrit vinte dhe vendose duart te Claudia.
And because Sylvester is a believer.
Dhe për shkak se Sylvestri është një
besimtar. We asked him to pray.
I kërkuam atij që të lutej.
And as he prayed.
Dhe ndërkohë që ai u lut.
The one leg just started growing.
Ajo këmbasi të shkishte
çfarë? I just felt, I don't know how to explain it.
Shani e pyetja e ndjeve, Claudia ta thjesht e
ndjeva se pashë.
I saw it.
Dhe ta
I saw it.
Si të pyet? Kush e pa nga jom?
We've got shocked. It's awesome. It was amazing to see.
Ishte shkëlqyeshme, ishte mrekullueshme për ta parë.
And Claudia, how's it been since then?
Dhe ti atëherë Claudia si ka qenë dhime ça?
Like
it's been great.
Great. I never felt this way.
Leah, do you want to come and share?
Sure. Leah, do të vish të ndihmë ta të shmin tënde?
The thing is, sharing stories like this is always encouraging because it builds our faith.
To know
that we can receive from God as well. And so what was the problem before we prayed?
The problem is prepare to lutsh shumë për ty Leo.
Okay. You can translate from him.
Yeah, okay.
Translate what I said. What was the problem before?
Okay. Cila ishte problemi?
Kisha problem me shpinën që një vit e ca, apo siç 2 vjet.
Ki po flet shqip harrova.
English?
I had back pain.
Okay.
For 2 years. Ala nuk e di.
Sa po ure, do më thëmë për të marrë diçka, dhimbja shkon të akon më shumë.
Every time when I try to sit somewhere, I had pain.
Edhe, treja, do më thëmë përë për konferencën e liris.
The 3 weeks ago, in the Freedom Conference,
ishte ditë e dirë, ishte kisha.
Was Sunday, worship service.
Edhe, kur Shani predikoi dhe tha, kush ka dhimbjen shpinë edhe unë vrita dorën.
While Shane was preaching. Shane said, "Who has the back pain?" And I said, "Yeah."
Dhe kur ula në karike, pashë këmba e djathë ishte më shkurë se sa e majta.
And when I seated to the chair, I saw that my legs were not equal.
Pastaj Claudia u lut për mua dhe urdhëroi që këmba të rritë në emër të Jezusit.
And after Claudia prayed for me and she said in the name of Jesus must go. and the leg just go.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you, Leah.
Yeah, faleminderit, Leah.
It's awesome. So that was really awesome. That's the guy who was asked if he could still be a Muslim. And the last Sunday we were there, he was one of the guys who got baptized, spur of the moment. And he's already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, so there's not really any turning back for him. Amen? Then, as I said, we had some discipleship training. So if you can put up those pics, please, just to show some of the discipleship training. Where it was like just about, they usually go through Rooted together on a Sunday, not on a Sunday afternoon in the week, but we had it on a Sunday afternoon. And obviously I'd sit with a translator and teach. They'll usually do Rooted together. I taught them on basically how to change their world. So the first week we looked at that you're an ambassador. The next week I taught them how to pray for their unsaved loved ones. I realize I'll probably have to do that here sometime. Then I taught them how to share their testimony or their story of how Jesus impacted their life, because it's not enough just to say you need Jesus. Tell them how he changed your life. Now I used the picture of this, that you know, someone comes to try and sell you a vacuum cleaner and they don't believe in it, they don't use it, it doesn't work for them, but they want you to buy it so they can get the commission. It's like, you know, it's got to work for you. So if it's not working for you, then get it working before you try and advertise it. Then the last thing I taught them was how to share the gospel simply, how to share his story. And it was really interesting. The funny thing for me, though, when we taught on praying for your unsaved loved ones, you can put the unexpected guest picture up. I knew that everybody there was born again. I knew that everybody there was the committed followers, the ones that come to Bible study, the ones that are eager to learn and grow and make a difference for God. And then this guy, you can see him reading the Bible there on the left-hand side of the picture. He came in a bit late. Now, it's a cultural thing. People will just rock up late and kind of then want to greet everyone. We're kind of trying to do away with that by just ignoring them and getting them to sit so that we can carry on, because it's very disruptive. But as soon as he walked in, I'd already started. I felt in my spirit, I was like, I don't know this guy. I know he's unsaved, and I don't know what to do with this. Do I now change my whole plan to try and give the gospel to one person, or do I now teach them how to pray for the lost? And I saw in my heart, I felt straight away, this is an attack. It's a distraction, so stick to the plan. And so I was like, I'm sticking to the plan. And he sat there, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to get worrying about one person. I'm going to minister to the group as planned, as I felt what I felt God lead me to prepare for. So I taught them on how to pray for an unbeliever. And one of the things that I showed them from Scripture is that an unbeliever's mind is completely blinded. They cannot see. The Scripture says they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. So you need to pray for that blindness to go, so that when they see the goodness of God, they can receive it. That's why some of them are confused when you talk to them about the goodness of God or the gospel. And I hammered on it. I hammered on it that an unbeliever's mind, that they have a demonic force blinding them. I wasn't soft with my words. I said it as it was. Afterwards, Alicia and Carl said to me that a lot of the people were a little bit uncomfortable because everybody knows this guy, and he's a Muslim, and he just all comes and argues and whatever, and there I was, now just saying, you're blind. You can't see it. You're blind. You can't see it. And I was like, awesome. Praise God. So that was fun. and then on the last week of discipleship, I asked them, what stood out for you? I'm thinking, you know, I don't know how many hours of teaching I've done with you, and it's been awesome teaching. I want to know what like nugget of truth has stood out for you. All of them, unanimously. Miracles are real. I'm like, awesome, praise God. Like, that's great. Pity we don't have recordings of the services so you can listen to the teaching. But awesome. At least you know that God's real and that miracles are, their words, miracles are really true. So that's awesome. I was unaware of the ladies' Bible study or the ladies' meeting that had a salvation. So that's awesome. So the salvation count goes up to 8. 8 salvations. One was a German of that group. One was a British guy. And the one was a Frenchman. And on the birthday celebration, the last Sunday, it was really cool. The Frenchman put up his hand and he said he's received Christ, he's born again. And he's staying in the hostel. So he comes up to me and he says afterwards, I just want to ask you one question. I was like, go for it, shoot. He says, you said that only a Christian has God living inside of them. I said, yes. He said, how can that be? Doesn't everyone have God living inside of them? I said, nope. I said, Scripture says that I believe that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is with everyone. And He's constantly revealing Jesus to everyone, constantly drawing people into relationship with Him. I said, I believe that. But you've got to receive Him for Him to be inside of you. So there's lots of people without God in them. They can't have a relationship with God because they haven't received Him. And when you receive Him, like you have, you now have God living inside of you. And he's like, okay, you know, he understands. And I gave him the rooted and I said, this will explain everything, go through it, and it'll help you a lot. He said, no, thanks very much. And and then I just asked, I said, where are you from? I could hear he was French, but I wanted to, you know, if you don't assume things. And he said, no, he's from France, and he's, his grandfather just passed away. And I was like, oh, you know, when you put your, you've just said the truth, and now they're dealing with something where the truth was relevant. And so then he said, his grandfather just died in Tibet. And his grandfather was a Tibetan monk. And he's on his way to Tibet to go and meet the fellow monks and to get his grandfather's possessions and basically just meet the monks and, you know, then go back home. So it's kind of like a pilgrimage for him. I was like, great. Thank you, Jesus. And I said to him, well, it's awesome that this happened to you this morning because it's part of your pilgrimage. I said, now your eyes are enlightened. I said, you've got God living inside of you. I said, now you it's a spiritual experience for you as well. And I turned into something great. And then Carl was talking to him and trying, you know, they were saying, we're going to do a baptism. You know, do you want to come? And he's like, yeah, he wants to come and see what a baptism is. So we go to the beach. Obviously, you have more people than were in church because people are like, what on earth are you doing? And so they're coming around, and he saw the first baptism. He saw the second baptism, and he was like, I want this too. In his jeans and everything, he went into the Mediterranean and got baptized. That was awesome. And you can see that God's doing something with him. So that was really a blessing. Three of those baptisms were spur of the moment. Then, I wanted to share just that, you know, as Grace Life, we're committed to building strong churches wherever God's put us, like in Stellenbosch. Wherever we are, we're committed to building strong families, which our purpose, to reach out, to establish people, to raise leaders, and to reach more people. That's part of who we are. We're committed to reaching out. But we're not committed just to Stellenbosch and wherever you are. We're committed to reach the unreached. Jesus said, go into all the world. And Albania is part of all the world. Why Albania? Because God opened the door. That's simply the only reason why. And I believe He's going to open up more doors for us in that area because there's a lot of countries in that area which don't have the gospel there. They don't, you know, it's unreached people and they need it. And I mean, you might have it on your heart to be part of that. Awesome. Come speak to me. We'll help get you ready for that. And then you can be like Carl and Alicia and go and have an adventure of your life. But all of us are part of it as well. You know, if you're part of Grace Life through your giving, through being part of supporting Carl and Alicia or the church in Albania, even just Grace Life here, you know, we're together part of impacting people's lives and generations for eternity. Because one of the things we realize while there, we're looking at maybe in the beginning like 12, 15 people, and then at the end between 20 and 30 people. We're looking at those kind of numbers, but if you look at each individual for generations to come, we've made an impact for eternity. The one guy there, his Albanian isn't very good. His English is non-existent, except for hello. And he's Italian. He's working in Albania. But we've got an Italian now who's going to go back with a message. There's another girl who speaks Italian fluent. We want to get her to translate Rooted so that we can get into Italy. You know which is the most difficult world in the country in the world to reach, to send missionaries to? Which is the most difficult country in the world? The Vatican City. You can't send missionaries there. And I'm not saying we're sending missionaries there. Some of them are saved. But the point is that Rome needs Jesus too. And if we can just send Rooted, that's awesome. Iraq and all of that too. But yeah. Anyway, one of the things we experienced was that we're taking territory back from the enemy. We're really taking territory back from the enemy. Even just here in Stellenbosch was what we're doing. We're taking, the devil's taken ground which doesn't belong to him. Now we're going back to take it back. There's that scripture, I should have had it on the screen, sorry. The gates of hell, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We all know that scripture. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. A lot of us use that scripture as an excuse to say, Jesus will do it. You're his body, he's going to do it through you. So don't just leave it up to Jesus. He wants to do it with you. We're co-laborers with Christ. Okay? That's the first thing to take out of that. The second thing, and I taught this there in Albania, is that where are your gates? Your gates are back home, right? If you've got gates at your home. It's fixed in the ground, and they're there to protect. They're there to kind of as a boundary line and whatever. Gates don't generally move away from their place. They move open and closed or whatever, but they don't necessarily go to another place, right? So think about it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not saying that hell's attacking us, but it won't prevail. It's saying we're attacking hell and their gates won't stand. That's what we're doing. We're going into enemy territory, which is technically and legally our territory, and we're taking back what the enemy tried to take. And so, you know, with the salvation, we went into the enemy's territory and we were like, hey, this is the gospel. Someone receives it. We're taking them from darkness and we're helping them come into light. Healing. Someone's in sickness. We're helping them get into health and into the light. Same thing with everything like that. And so, you know, it's not necessarily, there is an attack from the devil sometimes, but it's not necessarily an attack. Sometimes when you're going into enemy territory, it's just that you feel the effects of the enemy territory. It's not necessarily that the fact, or what's happening isn't necessarily that the devil's now angry with you, so he's attacking. I believe that that's true. I'm not believing for it. No one should. But at the same time, we need to realize that we'll just experience negative things because we're in a negative zone. Okay? And I mean, it was supernatural. The problems we had an awesome time. And we didn't wish any of it to be different, but we had a lot of problems. Health, I don't even know what else. The day before one of the meetings, whether it was conference or church, there would always be something happening. The night before the miracle, let me say this, 2 days before the first meeting, Marne kept complaining about back pain. And I said, let's check your legs. And her leg grew. Her one leg was short. We didn't even realize. The next or two, just before the conference started, we put the boys to bed. Then we go and have supper with Carl and Alicia and we fellowship a bit. And then we went to bed and it was around 11 p.m. William was calling me and I went and lay in on the mattress with him where he was sleeping. They had made a nice little tent for him over the mattress, so it felt like a camp out for him. And I went in there with him and he was just like, I'm so cold. And he was shivering and he was trying to crawl into me, trying to get warm. And I was like praying in the spirit with my hand on him and just passively. And it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I realized this guy's got a bad fever, very bad fever. And he's like, I realized I can't just passively pray like this. I need to get aggressive now. James 4 verse 7, let's look at that. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil doesn't flee unless you resist. Resist means to actively fight against. In a war, you've got two sides, let's say. these armies, this army and that army, and they're fighting against each other. They're also resisting each other. So when does this army stop resisting this army? When this one doesn't need to be resisted anymore. when they've won. And this was a revelation for me. Don't resist. Don't stop resisting until you've won, until you see complete victory. And so I picked up William, and I put him on my lap, and I don't know how I was sitting or whatever, but I was rocking with him, and I was starting to shout. And I was starting to pray in the spirit in tongues like more aggressively. And it was only 11 p.m. We thought it was like 2 in the morning because we were halfway in our sleep. Carl and Alicia were in the other room could hear us, and so they started praying for us. And we were just like, we're not accepting this. This is not going to happen. And it went. It stopped. The fever stopped straight away. And we could go back to bed, and the next day we saw a miracle. We saw salvations, and it was like, this is a bit of a connection. Yeah. We've had people who are some of our partners in the ministry, big givers and things like that, you know, contact me and say, a couple of them saying, you know, we've just had financial attack in the past month, and so we're unable to give. And I was like, the enemy's also attacking people involved in this. And I realized this was this past week after we landed that we need to bring it up in church as well, because you if you're part of Grace Life, maybe you're experiencing something, maybe not. I liked your story about the car. Basically, you just missed an accident. Long story made short. He just missed an accident. He sent me the picture of the car accident, and the car is a wreck, not his car, someone else's car, and he just missed it. But like probably about. You just overtook him, and then the guy had an accident. And so there's protection. The point is kind of a lot of people freak out when it comes to the devil. He's a pipsqueak. I kept telling William, I said, the devil makes you sick, Jesus makes you well. And he knows that, now he will tell you as well. Sometimes he tries to switch it around. I'm like, no, Jesus doesn't make you sick. I'll pause there. I want to make jokes, but I'll stop there. And I just said to him, I said, you know, Jesus never makes you sick. I said, my boy, do you know what? The devil's a moron. He goes, what's a moron? I said, someone who's not too clever, my boy. I said, he's trying to attack you. I said, but he's already lost. And we were trying to give him some paracetamol the other day. He wouldn't take it. I don't need that. I'm healed. I'm like, you've never heard us say that. He understands this. He said to me, he said, I'll take communion. I was like, what? He said to me, I didn't plan to say this, but I think it's worth saying. He said, the bread is for his stripes. I was like, I looked at Martin and I was like, I can't force him. So we took communion together and we prayed and he's fine. But it's like, you know, okay, be it according to your faith. That's awesome. Luke 19, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not just some, all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Some people are scared. I used to be scared of the devil. I'm not scared of him at all now. When I see this type of stuff, I'm like, get lost. You know, what do you think you're doing? I mean, we're going to change Albania. It's not going to be predominantly Muslim for long. And he doesn't like that. You can connect the dots and think why. So, the enemy attack is really nothing. Because of what we've got, and the problem is we don't know what we've got, and we don't know who we've got. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in you. And so, if you're fighting something, if something's trying to fight you, relax. And just be declaring God's victory in your life. You know, when we partake of communion in a moment, one of the things that I like about communion is it's declaring Christ's victory, which is our victory. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. When you're partaking of communion, it's a case of I'm declaring the victory of Christ in my life, over my health, over my finances, even over my guilty conscience. I don't have to have a guilty conscience because he's cleansed it. And you're just declaring that victory. And you know, often we took communion almost every day together in Albania. And we were like, you know, we just enjoyed the fellowship together and the time to minister to each other and whatever. We were like, we're not going to accept the enemy's attack. We're going to remind ourselves continuously that we are victorious and the enemy has no hold on us. He can't do anything except if we allow him. You know, Claudia, who is experiencing all that pain, she had scoliosis. And the doctor said to her, when after the before the nine-hour operation, they said to her, you've got a 50-50% chance of living through this operation. The operation was in Italy. And she came out alive, and then they said, you're going to live with pain for all your life. That's what the word of the doctor was, but God's word says you don't have to have that. And then she got completely healed. The devil had her in pain and in bondage. We took her from that with Jesus and put her into a better place. Because that's what God wants to do with all of us. Amen? So, when we're partaking of communion, I'm going to ask you, to really put your faith out there, and if you're experiencing some kind of attack, to stand. And as you partake, you're standing as a way of declaring that I've got victory over whatever attack is attacking you. I don't have to know what the attack is, you know, but you know what it is. So you're standing and you're going, devil, I'm standing on God's word and I'm declaring his victory in my life. I think that's important. Then, if you need prayer for anything, we'll pray for you afterwards. But before we do, I just wanted to say thank you for your support and your prayers, your financial support and prayers for the trip. It's really made a huge difference. Like a lot of people, beforehand, there were some people who were kind of like, you know, enjoy your holiday. And then when they were back, they even asked, how was your holiday? And I was like, you don't really get it. Have you traveled with kids before? That, just that part. But then ministry, I mean, we were still involved in the ministry here via internet. And then we're still, you know, involved in our new people's lives, that side, and ministering to new people. And so it's not a holiday. It was really, it was intense and it was awesome. We enjoyed it. And it was a blessing. So Father, I want to thank you that when we know you, we become strong and we can do mighty things in your name and for you, Father. I thank you, Father, that we're making an impact in a nation like Albania, where there's only like 17,000 evangelical Christians. That's amazing that we can help boost that, Father. That we can come to that 1% of evangelical Christians and we're going to cause it to go up past 70, Father. Because you are with us there. We just speak your blessing over Carl and Alicia there and over the church. We declare your favor over them, your victory over them, and we thank you, Father, for continuing signs, wonders, and miracles there, and that as people get attracted through that, they'll get the word and get established and have relationship with you so that they can make a difference in their world, Father. Thank you that we can be part of it all the way at the bottom of the world, bottom of Africa. We can be part of the significant work that's happening in Albania, and we can be part of the significant work that's happening here in Pretoria, Somerset West, Solari's Pass, Durbanville, Cape Town, Piketberg, everywhere here. Paul, I thank you, Father, that you've got a plan and a purpose for us here, and that we're going to see that plan and purpose advance here like never before, and we're going to reach people that people thought could not be reached. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.